It's time for Twink this week in Google. Google Plus exploded with new features. We'll talk about all the new photo features, the new Google Glass that's coming soon to an explorer near you, and a whole lot more. Jeff is not here, but Gina Trapani and Matthew Ingram will have all the Google news next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 222, recorded October 30th, 2013. An attractive virus. This Week in Google is brought to you by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/twig. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TWIG1013. It's time for Twig This Week in Google. We are here to talk about Google, the cloud, the Googleverse, all things cloudy, with Gina Trapani of SmarterWare.org. And part of the new ThinkUp, ThinkUp.com. How's the fundraising going?
Fundraising's going really, really well. We're in the upper 900s now. We're trying to hit 1,000. So check out ThinkUp.com.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it's doing going great. Great to be here.
Also here, normally Jeff Jarvis would be here, but he is unfortunately stuck in Basel, Switzerland. So, and the internet quality was terrible. So hey, we got somebody great though for you. Matthew Ingram from GigaOhm is here. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, how you doing?
The boxing gloves still on the doorknob, just in case.
Don't make me use them.
Just in case. So, I don't really know what to make of this. I think it's kind of fascinating. Google's Motorola division, makers of the Moto X phone, pushed something onto my phone today. They started pushing it out yesterday, and I don't think it's on other droids. I think it's only on the Moto X. And it's an animation they made with former Pixar animators that is designed to be played back on a smartphone. And it's very interesting. Now, this morning when I got up, there was a little red hat bouncing around all over the phone. I mean, it wasn't like just in, it was everywhere. It was down in the buttons and you couldn't miss it. I played the video, but I'll play it again.
Did you know what it was, Leo, when you saw that?
Somebody had said on Google Plus a couple of days earlier, install this thing, and you'll see why. And then I'd start seeing some articles, but I wasn't really quite sure what I was going to get.
I know a friend saw it, and he tried to uninstall it or get rid of it
several
times, and it kept coming back. He didn't know what it was.
Right. Yeah, I don't think they told anybody. It's kind of like a little serendipitous surprise. It's an animation made with John Pinkava called Windy Day, and I'll replay it. So you tap the hat, and then you get something kind of odd. See, there's that hat. That was what it was like, the little red hat floating around. Let me turn
like
up
on
the...
on top of your home screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it's accelerometer enabled. So as I turn, this is going to be kind of hard to play back, but I can look up. I can look down, I can look left, I can look right.
Is it 360?
Yeah. And eventually you'll find, I don't think I'll be able to do it on camera. There's the hat. Some really great, I don't know if this is Django Reinhardt or just a Django Reinhardt clone, but some really great Django music comes up. And there's a little mouse.
So does it play when you stop moving?
If you don't find the mouse, it doesn't start.
Okay.
And so you find the mouse, and you'll see, I have to follow the mouse to follow the action. This is a really interesting use of a smartphone for for a animated short. And it's a Pixar quality animated short. It's a great animated short.
Turn away and then come back?
Yeah. And in fact, there are parts of this where you lose the mouse and you have to find him. And the action does not proceed until you do.
Can you interact with it? Other than...
No, I don't think so. I keep tapping it and stuff. The problem is there's no way I can show this on the show because you actually... I mean, can you show me? You literally start doing this to watch it. You're turning around. Oh, there. Oh, I just found... Oh, now, but see, I can't show you. It is a very personal experience.
So what did you install the other day to get this?
Well, I don't even know if I had to. I think it just arrived without... Matthew, did your friend...
It just showed up.
Yeah.
It just showed up.
So I knew that something was coming, so I installed an app called Motorola. Let me see if I can... Because it was the weirdest thing. It was the weirdest thing because when I... did you see the hat flying around? When I installed the app, it disappeared. It didn't show up in my apps listing, so I didn't know what... I couldn't launch it. I couldn't figure it out. It was like Motorola Animator, Motorola Play, or something like that. And then a widget showed up in my widget list that was this little hat. So I put the widget on the desktop. Turned out I didn't need to, because when now it's installed again. It does it after you play it. It installs it again on the desktop so that you can replay the movie. This is called Spotlight Stories. What happens when our engineers get together with Oscar-winning artists? You get a new kind of story in the making. We can't wait to show you. Love, Moto X. And presumably, there are going to be more of these.
Well, Steve Levy wrote about it in Wired.
It's really interesting.
So
the fact that they would invest, I mean, they've clearly invested a lot in this. This is part of their marketing, right? I'm sure this is included in their $500 million marketing budget. Because the only can do it on a Moto X.
So
yeah,
I was actually
wishing that the Nexus would do it.
This is
I'd like to check it out.
Super cool.
It is cool, but okay, it is really cool, and I love Pixar shorts, right? But do I want something flying around on my home screen?
No. If you're a grump, the first thing you tap it, and you can disable it immediately and uninstall it, and it'll never bother you again.
So you can say, "Don't show this to me."
No, I don't want to see this. But I wouldn't, because I think now from now on I'm going to get serendipitously new stories every once in a while.
Yeah, and can you say show me this later? I'm curious, but
yes.
I'm trying to get going on. With
yeah, I just
life
did
right
that.
Now.
I just did that.
Yeah,
and now and what it does is it puts then a widget on your table, and so on your desktop. So who doesn't love a red hat? Add shark cart, and then no more ever. Please don't play. You can uninstall it.
I'm curious about, my mind, of course, goes directly to the sort of technical implementation of an app that can run itself and have permission to install itself and then launch and run, have permissions to run over your apps,
right.
Over your home screen.
File over your home screen.
So it's
like
a virus.
It's
that's
a virus.
Interesting to me.
It's a benign virus.
Attractive virus.
It's a really attractive virus. It's a really cute virus. I just like, as an app developer, if I'm going to make an app that can float above my windows, above your existing windows, like I have to explicitly like list that as a permission, which is a requirement of my app. And then you as a user, when you install my app, have to accept that that's okay. But you're not, but Motorola is bypassing all of that, right? Mm. And installing this thing on your phone and then running it. I mean, I think that's the part of this that I'm a little bit like, it's really cute, but...
Well, and I wonder how many people are going to react the same way my friend did, where they're just going to think, what the hell is this stupid hat? Because they don't know, and it doesn't really tell you, and so they'll just get irritated. And I mean, that's not a great experience.
I completely understand what you're going to say, what you're saying, and agree with you. And I also could see the guys doing this going, come on, it's just a little fun.
It's just a little fun.
It's a way to make you smile. Don't you trust? I mean, that's the problem, is that it assumes that you have to trust them, right?
Mm-hmm. When I read about it in Wired, it's a fascinating, like the funny thing is we've had these capabilities for what, years now? And yet there are very, very few applications like that that are trying to take advantage of those things to sort of do something interesting, not just to, track your footsteps, but to do something sort of different in the way we interact with information or entertainment.
Well, and that's the other thing. That's exactly what my reaction was. Wow, why hasn't anybody done this before?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost virtual reality. You're looking through this screen, and And there's points in the movie where you know there's something going on, and they wait for you, and you're like, where'd they go? And you find them. I think it's
trying to imagine that kind of thing on Google Glass.
Yeah,
it'd be fascinating if you could overlay something like that on your real surroundings as you move around.
They're calling this a new artistic medium, and I don't think that that's unfair, because they have to design this animation with an open world, basically.
Yeah, it reminds me of Chrome experiments. You know, when we see those HTML5 experiments that take advantage of all the sort of rendering and graphics capabilities. And, you know, whenever I see those Chrome experiments, I think, why aren't more people doing this? Why don't we see more people rather than the Google team showing off what's possible? You know, which is the point, right, of things like Chrome experiments, is to show developers, hey, this is something what's that possible. You can do. And so this kind of reminds me. But what is this exactly? When we say, what technology is this? Is this a special Motorola-based player or runtime thing?
It's a Google moonshot. Or actually, it's a Motorola moonshot.
Yeah, it's not clear what the technology is.
It's from their Advanced Technology and Products Group.
Okay.
Which appeared with Motorola at the same time as Google bought them. So it was a Google-inspired.
And they hired the director of DARPA.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm really going to be grumpy. I got it. It's a very cute video, but it's not a moonshot.
Well, I don't know, Gina. If you invented a new medium of artistic expression that required a accelerometer-based smartphone with, I think that's kind of interesting. I mean, I don't think that's non-trivial.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe not a moonshot.
Well, right. There's non-trivial, and then there's moonshot, right? Like, right. There's a difference. But yeah, no, I agree.
And I think it could be handled much better. I think they probably should have made this opt-in in some way.
Right.
You know, say send everybody an email saying, hey, you have a Moto X phone. Would you like to participate? Maybe they did, and I didn't see that, but I don't think they did.
Yeah. I mean, but we see that accelerometer-based kind of exploration in Google Earth and Google Maps. I mean, we've seen that before. I mean, I think it's a feed of animation. It's really cute and really cool. I don't know. The moonshot thing.
You're just jealous you don't have a Moto X. I know.
I'm being so grumpy. I apologize for being the grump in the room. I'm definitely not the grump.
You know what it makes me think of, though? Maybe it's because it's a mouse, but it makes me think of the first days of, you know, Steamboat Willie, Mickey Mouse, when he was just hand-drawn animation.
Yeah.
And you imagine how far we've come with that and what Disney's capable of doing now. Just imagine like this same type of thing, except 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you know, devices like Google Glass and whatnot. It's I think it could be pretty amazing.
It's very intriguing. It's they call it an immersive short. And it is immersive because you're looking around. I'm surprised games haven't done something like this.
Well, I was actually, what it reminded me of, or not the game, not this, but there were some guys at MIT that were trying to overlay, I think it was Quake or something like that, on your actual surroundings.
Right.
You would wear a visor.
Augmented reality kind of thing. Yeah. There's a lot of that going on in the world. I thought this was great.
Yeah,
and you know what's funny is you can't show it. I cannot show you. You can't show it on a web page. It requires.
I don't have Moto X. I haven't experienced it myself. So, I mean, it looks really delightful. It looks like they really did pull off like a kind of fun, delightful, whimsical experience.
It's very Pixar.
Yeah. It sounds like they spent a ton of dough on it.
They must have spent a lot of money on this.
Because I got the guy who did Ratatouille or whatever.
Yeah, the co-director of Ratatouille. Yeah.
So when you get to the end, is there any sort of call to action or share this or anything like that? It's just a short. And then
the
it
only
ends.
Call to action, in fact, this is the call to action right here, is what pops up after you've played it once. Miss anything? Replay. The hat suits you? Add shortcut. Oops, sorry. And please don't play this ever again. Uninstall. Those are the three. There's no share this.
You can't buy a hat or anything?
Yeah. There is a learn more page where you can read more. You can disable it on the learn more page. I mean, there's a privacy policy attached. It says, and I think this is good, Motorola Spotlight Stories, that's what this is called, do not deliver ads to your device or access any of your personal information.
Yeah, they'd have to be very careful about that, especially if they're going to install it without asking you.
Yeah. Well, now somebody in the chat room says, and this may be true, that it's pre-installed on the Moto X, and I installed the app, but apparently I already had it or something. I don't know.
Oh, I see. The Motorola Spotlight Player is actually in...
It's in the Google Store.
It's in the Play Store.
Yeah,
and it
I
says
went
incompatible with all of my devices.
Yeah.
Whoops.
You have to have a Moto X.
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting way to sell at a specific brand. Because, I think there are definitely some people who will, like Gina, say, well, I don't want that. But there are also some people who say, oh, that's kind of interesting. Can I see that? No, you have to have a Moto X.
Well, and I'm really interested to see what they come out with in the future, like what other sort of things they can do.
It's a mixed bag because I am completely understand what you're saying, Gina, and I agree with you. I think there probably could have been handled better. There should have been some explicit opt-in. But I think I understand what they wanted. They wanted a surprise. They wanted to, and this is kind of a marketing idea. Just kind of pleasant surprise, pleasantly surprise, or unexpected, serendipitous kind of joy.
I wonder what kind of responses they're getting from users.
I don't know. This has just happened, so I haven't seen a lot of people sharing it. But that's partly because probably a lot of people don't have a Moto X. I for one like it. I'm happy I have it, and I can't. And I hope that they every month or so give us a new one. It's an attractive virus.
Well, and it'd be interesting if they let you interact with it a bit more, maybe do like a
choose your own adventure and thing. And of course they could. In fact, it could be location aware.
Mm-hmm. Tried Google's Ingress?
Yeah, I played Ingress for a while. Chad's played it too. Did you stop playing, Chad?
Yeah. Chad invited me.
It's a lot of work.
Pondre.
It is a lot of work, yeah.
Pondre is way into it.
He travels a lot.
He travels a lot. He says he's lost weight because of it.
The problem is that Chad and I are pretty much stuck in Petaluma.
Yeah.
What Ingress is a game. You have to get an invitation. I think you still do to play it. There's a good Google group about it if you want to read what people are up to. You install it on an Android device. It uses location awareness. It uses augmented reality. You go to, I think it's always public places. Like in Petaluma, it's the post office.
Right.
You have to collect these.
And you have to take them over.
You hack these nodes.
There's Enlightened and Resistance.
Right.
You join a team at the very beginning, and you're fighting for these places. So if you're Enlightened, you go, and Resistance controls it. You and others have to hack the place to take it back, and you can expand your territory by adding other places, and then the territory boundaries are defined by those places.
I signed up, and I get the emails and stuff, and it says, here's your assignment, and you have to go and do this thing, but I'm busy doing something else, and then...
It's interesting. So Robert plays it.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was very intrigued by it. It'd be great if you were on a bicycle and you lived in, say, San Francisco or New York City. You might play it in Brooklyn, Gina, when you move, because then there's all these other spots, and you go around, and it's probably much more active. It's not so good in a small town.
I like the location aspect, though. Again, there's very few... It's an people sort of experimenting with that.
It's an innovative game.
Yeah, I mean, something simple that they could do with a short like that is, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but when you launch Google Now, the header image is contextual. So, I live near the beach. So, at sunset, I'll actually get a picture of, sort of a pink sky and sunset. I'll see, the water. When I'm in New York, I see a cityscape. They clearly have morning, nighttime, and daytime images. They're just header images. They're just cartoons, and I feel like right now you're just getting that's the standard daytime in California.
Yeah,
balloon. Yeah, yeah.
The ocean.
I see that image a lot.
Google Doodles have showed up there. So sometimes some of the Google Doodles will show up there. I don't know what the criteria are.
But they could definitely do something like a background that's dark or light or sunset or whatever in the background of the hat, the windy day video, which isn't as far as Ingress, which is based on your actual maps. Actually, Google Earth or Google Maps integration would be awesome, but it's all there, right? I mean, with Earth,
all the pieces are there.
Yeah, all the pieces are there.
It's so cool. If you were a kid. This would be magical to you.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to show Etta the stuff.
So you find the hat and you go, what's going on? It's almost like mist or something. I don't know. I can't really show you guys because if I tilt it and aim it at the camera, it's a little bit off camera, but
way easier than missed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's, yeah, much easier than doing anything. But and I love the music. But you don't even know how big the download was or and anything. They don't tell you anything.
I wonder how much bandwidth it's using up for people.
Well, yeah. I mean, isn't that a point?
Mm-hmm.
You see how it gets you to follow it? It gets you to follow it around. I have to turn it to follow the action. 19 megabytes, according to Boing. It's also funny. This mouse wants to wear this red hat, and he's having trouble. So you have to you're going to lose it because I have to turn it to find it. How can I?
A real Bugs Bunny.
Is there any way I can?
You need 360 cameras there.
I know. Yeah. How can I? I can't show you. And by the way, if I stay over here, nothing will happen. I have to go over because the bear shows up. There's the bear. You can kind of see him.
That's right. And then there's a squirrel, I think.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different characters. He flies through the air at one point. No, that's a squirrel, not the bear.
The squirrel, right?
I just love it.
So Jason just gives me a link to someone who recorded it using Google Glass.
Wow.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So you can follow it around.
Of course, we get an ad. But
well, I like that. It says, don't go to the gym. So yes, you win.
Yeah, so maybe skip like a third. You know.
So that's good with glass. So how would he do? Oh, I see. He's turning around.
Yeah,
around again, and it's going to get real crazy in a second. I lost it when I first did it.
Yeah, I did too.
That's it. I mean, is this something you're going to do more than once? Is it something you're going to do multiple times?
Sorry,
what you're going to do is you're going to give it to people. He's even having trouble following it, apparently.
Yeah.
Look down.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, it gets very... Cool.
Oh, there's a ton of stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
It's about, what, about 5 or 6 minutes? It's a short. It's fun.
That's cool.
And yeah, it raises all sorts of questions. But this is typical of Google, isn't it? That they push the envelope, and then people go, whoa, that crossed the line.
Or, like, look, the Motorola Story app player was probably pre-installed on your Moto X, right?
Yeah.
With the permissions already accepted.
And updated.
They would just push the story down. Yeah. So maybe this isn't an issue. This isn't a privacy issue. It doesn't say. I was concerned that they were bypassing Android's, app installation security thing where they prompt you, is this okay? But maybe they're not doing that at all. Maybe it was pre-installed on your Moto X.
I guess that's what it was. Although it's an invisible icon. You don't see it as an app, so you can't uninstall it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of bogus.
Yeah, but
we've seen that happen before.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's really kind of cool. It does. It's a little bit like Ice Age.
Yeah.
All right. That's there you go. That's Motorola's Spotlight, and only about 1% of you can even play that. That's also a little unusual, because ultimately this is a marketing tool, right? To get people to at least consider a Moto X.
Yeah.
Tell you, it's still my favorite phone ever that I don't know what it is about it. It's just appealing.
I was trying one out, and my oldest daughter now wants one. She wants to trade in her
She wants a Note?
Get a Moto X.
Oh, Moto X.
Yeah. Oh, she wants to trade in her iPhone for Moto X. Yeah.
I think it appeals to iPhone users in some
way. Well, and she likes, she was thinking about the Samsung the S4, but it's quite large, and her hand is fairly small, and the Moto X is a nice size.
Just the right size. It's just right.
Yeah, we've had a few guests on All About Android come on and say, Moto X, my favorite.
It's hard to, on paper, it doesn't appeal. It's medium specs and all that. Speaking of which, I can't wait. I want, and you know me, I want the Nexus 5, but where is it, and why can't we buy it yet, and when
it's
is
like
it?
Everything that you need to know about it, we already know.
It's all leaked out.
Supposed to be tomorrow or Thursday, but I expected Google to schedule an event to announce it, and that didn't happen.
Well, here's one thing I think we can pretty much be sure of. It will be in short availability, so you're going to want to order it the minute it appears on the Play Store. How are we going to know?
Yes. You're
going to watch Twitter or Google Plus?
You could set up an if this, then that.
Oh! Oh!
Ooh, good. That's
okay. Let's do it right now. So
she did that with Twitter's S1.
So
I saw Paul Kodrasty said that, and that works. Mm. You got the push.
Yeah,
so
it was a little late.
I should filter. With the problem is, if I filter Twitter now on Nexus 5, I'm going to see a million posts.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is ifttt.com, if this, then that. The this, let's see, what would be the best thing to plug
maybe
into?
Maybe RSS.
RSS on what?
The Google Play Store have an RSS.
Oh, that would be good.
In their devices, I don't think that they do, though.
No.
If they had an RSS feed of devices.
They hate RSS.
They do.
Maybe the official Google Twitter account?
That might be it.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, so let me...
Twitter.com/Google?
I'll do Twitter. We'll start with Twitter.
They'd probably announce it, right?
And then a new tweet, new favorite tweet, new tweet by you... New tweet by you. No, these aren't the triggers I want. New tweet by you. So how did you do it, Matthew? You were looking for text in a tweet?
Looking for, S1 in an RSS update at the SEC's at Edgar. So I don't know what would be the...
You want an RSS feed, don't you? Yeah.
Well,
yeah, there aren't RSS feeds for tweets anymore, are there?
No.
I think you can hack one up, but I don't think they provide them.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. App.net. Can't do it on Twitter. Apparently the API has been restricted enough now that it's not part of this and that. But I can say new post by anyone with a hashtag. So I'm going to do hashtag Nexus5. I need better. But AppNet is so small that that's not going to overwhelm me. And then I'll send myself a text.
Oh, boy.
You're getting a lot of texts.
I could have a phone call. Well, where should I put it?
Yeah, I'm just looking for the search results for Nexus 5 on Twitter. And
there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them, yeah. 2 minutes ago, 3 minutes ago.
I'm sending myself a text. Send me an SMS. And in that SMS...
And Leo's phone blows up.
You could add other terms. I mean, you could add Google Play Store. You could add...
I don't want to miss it. It's only for a couple of days.
Here's what you do. Hire somebody on TaskRabbit to just refresh the Google Play Store over and over and over.
Here from our chat room, from Cosmic Arbiter in our chat room, on XDA Developers... I made a script to alert me when the Nexus 5 was available. It's a Python script that watches 7 different pages and posts notifications when it detects a change with the text Nexus 5 and then posts a message using a Twitter account. So this is the Twitter account you should follow, @N5Stock.
See? Done.
The cool part about this is you can easily get push notifications in the Twitter account. So let's take a look at N5Stock on Twitter and see... If there's anything, here, just added, based on the leaks Thursday. Yeah, this is just people talking. I'm going to follow N5 stock, that's for sure. I love hackers.
Well, someone had to have done it.
I wrote a Python script. That was all I needed to do. It's obvious. Why didn't you think of that?
One of the Android police folks are saying it's going to happen tomorrow morning between 8 and 10 a.m., probably no later than 11 a.m. Pacific tomorrow.
So just to recap, what do we know about this? The Nexus 5, we first saw a picture on when they put KitKat out in the Google Plex. It's an LG-made phone. Nice. It looks pretty big, maybe 5 inches to 5.5 inches, right? It looked pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen a benchmark now in one of the gaming benchmarks that showed it to be the second fastest GPU after the iPhone 5S. Of course, it'll run KitKat. 1920 by 1080 display on a 4.95-inch screen is what one rumor says. 8-megapixel camera, 1.3-megapixel front-facing. It'll be a Snapdragon 800, of course, quad-core.
And black and white.
Black and white, 16 and 32. But, and this is one of the most interesting rumors, for all of that, and that would be a top-of-the-line spec-wise phone, except with the exception of the camera, maybe, $350.
Mm-hmm.
And the last Nexus was very cheap, too. Okay. Makes it very desirable. Unlocked.
That's cheap.
Yeah, that's cheap.
It's kind of like a G2, but for a lot less money. 445 pixels per inch, says this leak, anyway. That's the highest PPI I've ever seen. So that's why we're all saying, oh, when will it be out? Because we know that you'll be able to order it for 5 minutes before they're out of stock. We just want to be there for that first 5 minutes.
Yeah. I think an IFTTT recipe is in order. So you got it set up. You got it set up with that.
Yeah, I haven't gotten any texts yet. So
TaskRabbit
is probably the best way to do it.
People are. Yeah, TaskRabbit. That's right. Mechanical Turk.
Yeah.
Do you think that's do you think that's a legitimate price?
$350 for unlocked?
Yeah.
Oh, do I think that price is real?
It seems so low.
It seems low. It does seem low. It seems wishful to me.
Wishful
thinking.
But
I hope I'm proved wrong.
Yeah. What would be the most? I mean, if it were the market price to be $650, right?
Right.
So it's going to be the next, I think it's fair to say the next 24 hours. But I'm going to be watching my phone like a hawk. let's talk about the new data center that Google's building on the San Francisco Bay. Google has a patent for water-based data centers. There's a mysterious building going up near Treasure Island, which is where the Navy used to be. It's an island in the middle of the bay. The Bay Bridge leads to it. And there's a barge with a four-story stack of shipping containers out there. Nobody knows anything about it. Although,
or so they say.
Although now CNET and now Channel 5 News, KPIX 5 has learned, probably by reading CNET, that Google is actually building a floating marketing center, a kind of giant Apple store, but for Google Glass.
What?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Channel 5, what? An insider close to the San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission says Google has spent millions on this, but they can't park this barge on the waterfront without a permit, and they don't have one.
Wait, you weren't kidding about the Google Glass thing?
That's what Channel 5 is saying.
I thought you were joking.
Well, I'm sure they have great sources, Channel 5.
CNET says it's everybody's talking, nobody knows, but based primarily on the fact that Google does already have a patent for a sea-based data center. The reason being, there's two things you really need in a data center: unlimited power and unlimited cooling, and of course the sea provides both.
We wrote back in 2008 about Google, you know, the patent and them talking about, scientists talking about, that would be a great idea. I mean, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
I get the cooling, but dumb question. Energy from the sea. How does that work?
Just waves.
Okay.
Is it?
Okay.
I don't know. It's magic.
Okay.
Temperature differential.
The patent actually mentions a wave-powered electrical generator system machines from a company called Palamas.
Wow.
So I guess these are just wind turbines, except these waves.
Okay.
Isn't that wild?
That's pretty indeed genius.
Do you remember when Wired wrote about it?
Extension cord.
Do you remember Sealand?
I wanted to buy an old... I was really... Until I found out the maintenance costs were sky high... I was really interested in buying an old oil, a disused oil well. Apparently, there's quite a few of them. You know, a sea platform. Mm-hmm. And put Twit there.
Great. International Waters.
International Waters. Pirate podcasting.
Issue your own currency.
Yeah. Like Sealand. Sealand had its own currency. Exactly. Yeah.
Passports, stamps.
Yeah. Bitcoin.
And that could be the emperor.
Someone was going to put servers in the big tubes that make up the legs.
Right.
And basically submerge them.
So I think Sealand had the same problem, which was, is it still around? Because it was very expensive, I think.
Yeah, still around.
So the Principality of Sealand.
It's a bit of work. It's a fixer.
It's in an oil rig in the middle of the North Sea.
It's a nice view, though.
They're cheap. Because what happens is you can only get, you know, the well runs dry. And they got, they built this platform out there. You can buy them cheap.
Sealand was a defensive, no, I can't remember.
Oh, it wasn't an oil rig?
No, I don't think so.
No,
there were a whole bunch of them for the Second World War.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
It was known as HM Fort Rogues. I am reading off of
it's a fort.
Yes, Wikipedia. Seaforts. Yeah,
it's a fort, a sea fort. Hmm. Huh. Hello.
It's a little breezy there, though.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, the weather's terrible. It's hard to get people out there. I just like, and there's really nobody's, there's no reason to do pirate radio. We're a podcast, but.
Sure would be fun.
It sure would be fun. I might get a little cabin fever after a while. The other issue with this sea-based data center, according to the San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission, is you're not allowed to build something on the bay that you could reasonably build on land. It would it needs to be a permit. It seems like this is it, they don't have approvals,
but they're building it.
They're building something, and who gave them permits? That's the question. I mean, right? It's a
well, and you couldn't build something like this on land because you wouldn't have wave power, would you?
Right. Like, so maybe that's the story. Hey, we can't. We needed waves.
It does make sense, though. I mean, Google's got to be using up almost every place in the world you can get sort of huge amounts of reliable power. Got to be getting close.
Think about the challenge, right? And then we saw this announcement yesterday with Vic Gundotra, the new Google Plus stuff, and they're going to store your photos in full quality. They're going to run servers to grind on your videos and make edits. And I mean, this is crazy. They're building, they're creating demand for more data centers. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, it feels like it's almost profligate spending. Here's the Channel 5 reporter talking to somebody
the Treasure Island
through the intercom.
Give us a no comment.
Local news is so funny.
The man at the Hangar 3 building next door to the bar.
Basically, they have a lot of pictures of people saying no, you're not
closing doors.
Closing doors. But there's something there. They're building something.
So my other dumb question is, so I get the cooling and I get the electricity, but the connectivity also has to be amazing, right? So if it's out to sea, if it's out in the middle of the sea far away, I mean, right now it's in the bay, right? But if it's out there.
No, I don't think you bring it out to sea. I think you have to dock
it. You dock it in the bay.
Yeah, I would think.
Or maybe you use Google Loon.
That's true, but Google Loon's the connectivity rates were not weren't great.
And latency's a problem, and yeah.
So you could tap into one of those cord out there to the bay, and you're good. You're good to go.
You could tap into one of those undersea cables, right? The NSA does that.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe you just drop it to a cable. Oh, of course, that's it. You have an undersea cable.
Mm.
That's
boom.
Yeah. Wow.
Of course you do, and there's lots of room in the ocean. That's it. Of course.
Just send some divers down to the bottom there. And
no, as you're going, as you're sailing out, you just have a big spool and you go.
Oh, I see. You're dropping.
You're laying cable as you go out.
Cable to go. Right. Right. Yep. Yep. That's a hell of an anchor.
I love a company that will put animations on my phone and data centers in the middle of the ocean. I love that kind of
thing. And do the good work of laying undersea cable for us in the process.
Apparently, Brendan in our chat room says they're building another one in Portland, Maine. Something similar. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
This is scary. This is really Skynet. Scared.
Kind of awesome. Yeah. See, I'm way cooler with this than the flying hat.
Really? My home screen. See, I have a mixture of fear of both.
You know, they could submerge those and then use some of the excess heat to heat up like a hotel and sell rooms in some underwater server farm hotel.
Stay in the underwater Google hotel.
Presumably somebody's working on that already.
This is what happens when a company is too damn successful. Gosh darn it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the change log. Yes, there have been a lot of changes to Google Plus. Really cool changes. Gina Trapani will have those for you. And a whole lot more. Matthew Ingram's here from GigaOM. We're talking about Google and the cloud. Our show today brought to you by Personal Capital. The catch-22 of your financial life is the more progress you make, the more success you have, the more complicated it is to manage. Accounts are scattered everywhere. You got checking, savings, credit cards. You got a retirement account, I hope. You have investments. You got your mortgages. You got your loans. How do you make sense of it all? Well, Here's a free way to do it. PersonalCapital.com/twig. It's a next generation investment advisor. Tells you about your financial situation by combining all your accounts, giving you a total real-time snapshot of your finances, recommendations on ways to manage your money for maximum efficiency. You get graphs, you get charts, you get reports that tell you the whole story. It's pretty much like a financial GPS, and you can use it for free at personalcapital.com/twig. I've been using it for a year. We interviewed the founder on Triangulation a little more than a year ago, and I got so excited I signed it up immediately, and I love it. Just takes minutes. It'll pay big dividends by helping you make better investment decisions immediately. You may say, I don't have much to invest, but you know what? If you have a retirement account, that's an investment. Then an investment needs to do well because you're going to live on it. So sign up now, absolutely free, personalcapital.com/twig, and get your free personal capital account. Smart investing means seeing the big picture. And also, you know, we're chart geeks. We like information. Have a financial dashboard on me, personalcapital.com/twig. And now, ladies and gentlemen, break out the flugelhorns. It's time for the Google Changelog.
The Google Changelog.
And now, Gina Trapani will tell us what's new with the Goog.
Lots of Google Plus improvements this week. Google held a press event a couple days ago and unveiled a bunch of new features. So Google Plus is getting lots of new features for photos and videos. First, iOS users are getting full-size backups for the first time. That's worked for Android for quite some time. You've got better auto-enhance that you can adjust up and down to your liking. A new filter called HDRscape. Vic Gondotra explained that normal camera can't properly display the colors that a human eye can see, but an HDR photograph, which used to involve a lot of complex, expensive software, well, that's all bundled into Google Plus right now. Google also enhanced their search capabilities. So I think we showed this a few episodes ago. You can go into your Google Plus photos and say, show me photos of food or show me photos of trees. And Google Plus has already sort of looked at your photos, figured out what objects are shown there, and will show them to you in search results. They've improved that, and they've increased the number of objects that Google Search can recognize inside your photos to over 1,000. So Google can detect Labradors and snowmen, tulips, umbrellas, laptops, shoes, and this is kind of magic, folks.
It really works well. Although I asked for dogs and I got some ducks.
I searched for puppies and it showed me one of the pictures of my daughter, who is as cute as a puppy, but not quite a puppy.
except for the two ducks, I think they nailed it.
Yeah,
you can even search for people's names.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you search for people's names, and you can search from your photo library and from people in from your circles photos libraries, photos that are available to you. So you'll see Leo there. You can see the link from your circles is right next to from your photo library, which is also new.
Totally cool. I mean, I forgot I had this video. This is Henry, my son, reading for the very first time in 2000.
My dad forced me to do this.
Aww.
But,
he's now freshman in college.
I still do it.
Aww.
Because he said that I had to do it for you. So we'll do it.
This is the most precious video I have.
Aww.
And it found it.
First page.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Toad.
Wow.
I mean,
that's
pretty amazing to have
that.
That
is pretty amazing.
Thank you, Google. You're going to make me cry now.
Is that Wind in the Willows?
It's Frog and Toad, and if you had little kids, you would know it.
Nice.
You will know it, Gina. That's his first. That's the first time he ever read to me.
Oh, he has a Hogwarts shirt on. This is killing me. Oh, my God. This is killing me.
You overload.
This isn't even my kid. This is killing me.
I didn't even remember that I uploaded it. So, but I guess it's going through Picasa Web or something like that.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is pretty cool to be able to search for a name and get that.
It's pretty amazing, and I'm really glad that iOS users are getting this as well. I feel like the auto upload and all of Google Plus's photo features, people kind of talk down Google Plus all the time, but really the photo stuff and Hangouts to me are the killer features.
I am. This is amazing.
Yeah,
for sure. The photo stuff is
blows me away.
And speaking of the photo stuff, there's three new Auto Awesome features. One is called Action, and it's for action photos. So if you take a series of photos with someone moving, like dancing or running or jumping, Auto Awesome can merge them together into one action shot where you can see kind of the full range of movement. So you see on the screen there a guy like skateboarding up the side of a wall. It'll merge them all together and show you kind of.
You know, it's interesting. Interesting about this is the kind of thing the Samsung Galaxy S4 and the HTC One do.
Yes.
And now Google's doing it for everything.
There's a new one called Eraser. So if you're at, say, a busy landmark where there's lots of people in the background, take a bunch of photos in succession, and then Google Plus will basically remove everybody from the background and make it look like you're standing in a kind of an empty space, like the one up.
Amazing.
Yeah. Wow. And then Auto Awesome Movie is a little bit like HTC Zoe, but more advanced. So you basically, you use the Google Photos app for Android, which we're going to see on.
So this is the rough cut. These are all the videos that they took as they're doing a little road trip.
Right. This is a bunch of videos. You take a bunch of pictures and videos, and then you choose the ones you want to include in your Auto Awesome Movie.
Oh, so it doesn't do this automatically.
Right. This is the only one that doesn't do automatically. But you choose the ones you wanna show, and then Google stitches them together, adds some music, and you've got just a really cool, you know, stitched together movie with both stills and video. So you'll see in this example.
This is straight out of the HTC One highlights, but better.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So good.
And it adds the music?
It adds music.
And it has the music, yeah.
Wow.
And you can choose, I think that you can change the theme, the style, the background music. You can remove and shorten or reorder scenes as well. So there are some editing capabilities. So you'll see there's an example of a few stills getting added. So we're really kind of getting the HTC Zoe, you know, features, but even better.
And you get to choose so that something awkward doesn't show up in your video.
Right, exactly. And so, you choose the initial photos and videos that it includes, and then you can even reorder scenes or edit scenes, which looks really, really neat. I can't wait to get this. I'm going to take so much more video just for this because I don't have to edit video. But if it's going to do this for me, then I'll take video for sure.
I have to say the Auto Awesome, I was sort of skeptical about it because I just wasn't sure that I wanted
animated GIFs in your timeline?
Yeah, to do things like that. But I took a whole bunch of photos at the lake of geese or something or ducks or whatever. And then all of a sudden there was this Auto Awesome sequence. And
it's awesome.
I really liked it.
It's awesome. Let's admit it.
I didn't have to choose it or get them to do it or, you know, it just happened.
Yeah, and it does a great job at highlights. Like I take a bunch of, I always take 5 or 6 pictures of my kid and only one of them isn't blurry or she's actually looking at and it does a great job at picking out the one good photo that you got. It does a great job at making collages. It's pretty amazing, I have to say.
This is
when you think about it, whether it's photos or video, like a lot of it is just the time. You take you go on a trip, you take like 350, 600 photos. You don't have time to go through them all and, like you said, find the one that's good or put together a movie. The more of that they can they can take the pain out of that for you, the easier, more people are going to do it, I assume.
Well, and also it's such a natural, because now it's in Google Plus, so it's so easy. The easiest way to share it is, I'll just share it on Google Plus. So it's very good for Google Plus. It sells Android for sure, although you can do it on iOS too, anything that'll upload.
I have to say their photo editing tools are pretty good too in Google Plus. They bought, can't remember what it was now.
They bought Snapseed, and that's another thing that's been improved. Yeah. And the new Snapseed, a lot of us got new Google apps today, by the way. And one of the new Google apps was this new Snapseed with HDR that they had talked about.
Right, the HDRscape is one of the Snapseed.
Really good. Yeah. It's like, I don't need Lightroom anymore good. It's kind of, wow. Although I'm not a fan of HDR, but you really can easily HDR.
It's overdone.
Yeah, it's overdone. So here's an Auto Awesome, because I took... So the key with Auto Awesome is you've got to take a number of pictures in rapid sequence. So I got Lisa going off on her jet ski. Now, that's not something you're going to put in your photo album, but you might very well share it on Google Plus, right? And it looks good. And then I have... If I go up here, I used... Oh, see, it's not... I guess it's on my phone, but it's not yet been uploaded. So I played with the Snapseed on these on this image, turning on the HDR, and I actually really, really improved the image. It's kind of...
That kind of auto-fix thing, again, like to saving people time, like so you don't have to open another app and then fiddle with it and then save it and then export it. And I mean, all of that, just sort of making it sharper or fixing up the white balance. I mean, that stuff makes a huge difference.
It's great. A lot of those Snapseed capabilities are actually already in Google Plus in the browser, by the way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The drama shot is so cool. There's so much good stuff in here, you know.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And then you control the strength, too. This is just on the web. And the saturation, I mean, it's just, you can really change some. So, yeah, wow, bravo.
Yeah, bravo. Good stuff with photos and videos. Hangouts also is getting an update, which hasn't gotten pushed down yet, but it's on its way. Google is adding location sharing to Hangouts. So if someone hangs out to you or chats you, it says, hey, where are you? You can just tap on a button and you can send someone a Google map of your current location so they can find you, which is kind of neat.
Something a lot of group chats have had for a while, but I think still useful.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten the SMS capability yet?
No, not yet. This hasn't rolled out yet. So SMS integration and support. And I'm honestly not sure how this is going to work. I don't know if you have to register your native phone number. I use Google Voice, so I'm not even sure how the Voice integration is going to work. This hasn't been pushed out yet.
The registration has, though. So if you use Hangouts, you can add phone numbers. And I've added all my regular phone numbers to it.
Okay.
So yes, I use Google Voice. So it has the Google Voice number. But if you go into settings on Hangouts right now, you can see confirmed phone numbers. And I'm not going to show these, but I have quite a few of them. And it will offer then to confirm your if you tap it, it'll say, oh, let's confirm this phone number. And you'll add it. And then it says, so it sends an SMS to that phone, and then it adds it. So the question is going to be, can I remove the messaging app from my dock and just put Hangouts there? I think I can, right? Or I will be. Not yet, but I will be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. I do have my phone number added here.
Yeah, they're all in there, and you can add,
So it's intercepting your SMS, or it's just, I see, it's just detecting that your messaging app has received an SMS and just displaying it within Hangouts.
That happens now with voice. So if you use Google Voice as I do, it will show up in both messaging and voice.
Right, and voice. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I would presume now all three will show up. It'll show up in Hangouts, messaging, and voice, and I can use any one of them as my default messaging app.
Right, that makes sense. And animated GIF support, which I know we were all waiting for inside of Hangouts, of course. And then the final update is Google Plus is expanding its custom URL availability to everyone. So a custom URL is you get plus.google.com/ and then plus whatever your name is or whatever you choose. So I've had plus Gina Trapani for a while.
Me too.
Google's rolling this out to everyone. Yeah. All profiles that have a picture, at least 10 followers or encirclers, I guess, and have been around for at least 30 days will soon be able to create a custom URL. If your profile meets the criteria, you'll see an option to on your page to start the process of claiming that URL, or you might get an email the way that Chad did. Chad, you got this email, didn't you?
I did, and if I go check out my thing, you can see at the top of my profile, it says I can choose to change it to plus Chad Johnson, OMG Chad. I didn't really want
that's what
this.
That's what they suggest.
That's what they. But now, if I get rid of just the Chad Johnson to only choose OMG Chad, it won't let me. It says it's not allowed, which is
not a real name.
Kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh, and that's why it suggested, just because you're.
Because that's how I have it set
Chad
up.
Johnson in parenthesis OMG Chad.
And right? So I can't choose Chad Johnson or just OMG Chad at the moment.
You can't choose Chad Johnson either.
No, because Chad Johnson is a football player, which I bet. Now, I wondered if perhaps because I have a page, that is what is throwing me off, is that I also have a Google Plus page with OMG Chad. And maybe because there's a page that
you
exists,
can't have it.
I can't have it. I tried going into the page and changing my name, then I realized that was tied to YouTube. So I'm kind of stuck right now. I don't know what to do. Maybe I should just go ahead and grab Chad Johnson.
Hey,
on Chad.
Google.com/plus twit works.
Nice. So that's a page.
Oh, good.
I don't know if we applied for that or not.
I'm not sure either.
That's good, though. I'm the manager of the page, and I didn't apply for it. So, celebrities like us have had this for some time. But now you little people can get it, too.
You said that. I did not say that.
It is. We talked about this when they started doing it for verified names, that it's not official. It's not part of the web RFCs that you put a plus in a URL, is it?
Not really.
No, plus, when you URL encode a data, plus generally indicates a space.
Right.
So it's a little weird to have the
I'm
plus
surprised
in the URL.
It works.
Yeah. Well, it's Google. But yeah, I mean, like, pluses work, right? But like, but it's usually used to encode spaces.
Oh, I guess that's right, so. Because it's a Google's. Oh no, it's a URL. It's not a Google search. It's a URL, right? Or is it? Oh, maybe Google parses it. That's probably what it is. It comes in as google.com with some entity attached, and Google parses it and sends back a website.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know.
Yes.
Yes.
Works for me.
Yes, it's their server. They made it work.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want.
Imagine the marketing guys. The plus must work. We don't care about the RFC. The plus must work.
I think it's more like, the brand. Hey, can you do this?
Yeah.
And it's somebody, some geek in Google. Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Like, we can do it, but technically, the RFC.
Yeah,
the
it's a violation, but man, why not? Let's do it. Let's do it.
That's
hey, Chad, how'd you get a dancing cat in your header picture?
You just upload a GIF.
It's a GIF.
Yeah.
Or a GIF.
GIF.
Or a GIF.
Depending on.
But not a movie. It's a GIF or a GIF.
Yeah, I did not take a moving picture and then.
Is that auto awesome?
No.
Has anybody in the chat room got a, yet done this moving picture thing? They showed a really good one. Vic showed a really good one of one of his coworkers running on the bridge. And he said, you know, we don't know exactly what you prefer. Maybe that woman running through the shot of the bridge is destroying it. Maybe that's your girlfriend and you care about her. So we do both. We make a awesome, what do they call this new running shot where this shows her going boom, boom,
cinemagram boom. Or something like that? Or
well, it's it was cinemagram that started doing this on iOS. That was an app.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
But I don't know what the name of it is.
Auto awesome action, I think.
It's an auto awesome action. So it goes boom, 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 boom. And then they also take her out of it completely and say, you know, oh, by the way, here's the bridge, if that's what you were looking at. Okay, here's one from Turniped. He says, here's a great one. I'd like to see it. This is a feature that Samsung has in its Galaxy. They call it Golf Shot, but I've never been able to get it to work on the Galaxy very well. Oh, no, this is an Auto Awesome, but I do like this. But I wanted the one where it was somebody running or jumping.
Drops.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Isn't that nice? The raindrops.
That's a whole category of animated GIFs or GIFs or whatever you want to call it.
That's a cinemagram.
Yeah, like that. So you just get
that's a cinematograph.
Static shot, but there's one thing moving.
Right.
Like
that's what we call a cinegraph. But I was thinking of the ones like with a golf swing where you get the golf club in all of its positions. The other thing they showed is if you overlap. Let's say it's a basketball shot and you're moving too fast, so you overlap. They ghost the overlapped images and save the last one. I mean, it's exactly what you would want.
Mm. Yeah.
I got to say, the one where you can erase people, that's the one I'm probably the most interested in, just because you do take photos lots of times of, you know, places and there's a giant crowd and you can't see the thing you're trying to take a picture of.
Yeah. Or you get photobombed. Erase.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really have to, play with these. I keep meaning to go out and take. But I think the best thing is when it just happens by serendipitously, and you go back to your Google Plus photo stream and you go, oh,
yeah.
Look what happened.
It is really delightful. Ooh. Like I at first I was a little annoyed because I was getting an email from Google like, you've got 24 new photos ready for sharing. I'd be like, yeah. But then you click through them and you see the highlights. Mm. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is great. Like, it's definitely a delightful experience because they're showing you the best photos. They've made you collage. They've done, you know, the auto awesome stuff. And you're like, whoa, these look even better than when I took them.
Yeah, I think it really does market the service really well because you're not expecting it. And then it's like someone took your photos and went away with them and fiddled with them and then shows you what they did. And it's pretty cool.
Look what I did for you.
Yeah.
I'm your creepy stalker.
I erased all those nasty people from your
phone. I'm your creepy girlfriend. Look, I
created the best version of your life for you.
I arranged your closet.
Just I edited and... out all the crappy photos from your life.
That's right. You have 5 photos.
Here's the highlight reel from your day yesterday.
But Gina, you nailed it. You want to take more photos and videos now with your phone all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah, and I'm so much more willing to just snap, and yeah. I know that, you know, I'm not gonna have to sort through them myself to find the best one. Google, I'm gonna have an email from Google saying, hey, look, and there's gonna be a great shot of my kid, which is really nice. That's all I got for the changelog.
Here's one from Paul Moody. This is kind of a neat one, of a cliff diver. So,
oh, yeah. I can see the ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So how do you do that? You do a rapid shot? I guess so. You go... And Google.
Yeah, you know,
it.
Something like fast burst camera or any sort of fast burst mode, which I believe is actually might be available. There might be a fast burst mode in the latest stock camera update on Android.
Oh, really?
Well, it would make sense.
Yeah.
It would make sense. Wow, this is really neat. And that's the Google changelog. I can't wait till my photo stream is filled with all of these. It's going to be interesting. Moving, let's see. Let's take a break and then come back. We'll talk more about the Google and some other things that Vic mentioned. Some really interesting things that might be used for those of you who are Google Plus fanatics to respond to those Twitter naysayers. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Shutterstock. If you're looking for stock images, a great place to go. How long before somebody like Shutterstock does a deal with Google and you could mark, or maybe Flickr, you could mark pictures, say, you know, this should go to Shutterstock. They have a lot of pictures. They added 200,000 new images this week. 30 million images at Shutterstock.com. Since there's always new images, there's always good reason to go back and look around and maybe pick an image for your blog or your presentation, for your advertisement, your publication. It's royalty-free. That's nice. The search engine's super cool. I can search for Cliff Diver, but I can also search for Cliff Diver Illustration, Cliff Diver Vector. I could search for Happy Cliff Diver and Sad Cliff Diver, Blue Cliff Diver and Green Cliff Diver. They've got a great little color spectrum tool that lets you actually pick palettes. Great for designers. The light boxes are really neat, too. Now, you have to make a free account with Shutterstock.com for the light boxes. But once you do, you can take any image and put it in the light box. You don't need to give them a credit card to do that, by the way, or you just set up a free account. They also, don't forget to click the footage tab because they've got great video footage. Really high quality video footage, 1.3 million of them. Shutterstock.com. Now, if you do decide to buy, you can buy image packs. You can buy subscriptions. That's what we have. It's the most affordable way to do it. I think we get 25 images a day for a flat rate. It's a very good deal. If you do that, please use our offer code, and you'll get 25% off your new account at Twig1013 is the offer code. Twig1013 at Shutterstock.com. Beautiful site. I use it for inspiration. I'll search for things and I get ideas. It's really kind of a creative whack up the side of the head. Shutterstock.com. So during the talk a couple of days ago, was it yesterday? It was yesterday. Vic mentioned that Google Plus has 300 million active users every month. Take that, Twitter. Take that, Leo.
How are they counting active users?
That's exactly. The immediate reaction is that can't be right.
What does active mean?
Yeah, I mean, what is plus? Like, what do users mean? Because this is the thing about Google Plus. Everybody says, I don't use Google Plus. Actually, no, you do. Because if you use Hangouts, if you sign into Google, if you use Profiles, if you use YouTube, if you use Docs, I mean, like, Google Plus is just baked into everything in some little way, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that you're posting on plus.google.com.
Okay, be like that. You're counting just, you're saying, okay, I'm going to count plus one button clicks and all of that. Then you have 540 million active users. So, active users, Google says, anybody who interacts with Google Plus in some way on any Google property. That could be leaving a comment on a blog or website with Google Plus comments enabled, as our site does. Commenting on YouTube, that counts.
Okay.
Clicking the plus one button. That gets you half 540 million. The 300 million is active in-stream viewers, people who actually go to the Google Plus content stream.
300 million.
Once a, 300 million a month.
Who are these people? Like, people? Because, I mean, you know.
Well, me and you and Chad and I'm sure Matt.
Well, it's once every 4 weeks, right? You have to go once.
Right.
Because none of my friends and family who don't work in tech do this.
I know.
Yeah, me neither.
I know.
I mean, I'm not trying to talk bad about Google Plus. I hate when people assume that Google Plus is a total failure because I don't think that it is, but none of my friends and family are actually writing anything on Google Plus either. Most of them just have a profile set up and they might
Because you kind of have to,
right? To use Google, to be signed into Google. Mm-hmm. At this point, Google prompts you so often to just create a profile and that's profiles is Google Plus now. I mean, everything's so integrated. But viewing the content stream at going to plus.google.com, that surprises
and to
me.
To me, that was always the genius, was to integrate it into everything.
Right.
Everything Google has. And so you link to it even without even realizing it because your account is connected to something else. I mean, that seemed to me really smart. But I would agree. I can't see that many people deliberately go to plus.google.com and look at something or do something.
I use it every day. I use it all the time. And the more they do things like these new photo enhancements, the more likely I am to use it. I mean, they've made it really great, useful. And I don't even do Hangouts.
I check it because the number comes up, you know, when you're in Gmail or whatever, right. The toolbar, the number comes up. And so I have sort of notification anxiety, and so I click on it, you know, to see what it is.
You wouldn't want to be me. That number's on a lot. It's always... So somebody in the chat room, this is an interesting, completely anecdotal data point, says my 14-year-old and all his friends use Google Plus instead of Facebook now.
What?
Surprises me. But I think kids don't like Facebook. Facebook has become their parents' place. Twitter even more so.
Actually, I would disagree with that.
No?
My daughter and lots of her friends, it's Tumblr and Twitter.
Right.
And sometimes Instagram.
Tumblr, I'll grant you. Instagram, sure. Instagram, Vine, and Tumblr, very big with the young folk.
But Twitter, though, is interesting because...
RT creative types, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Twitter and Tumblr are both for live blogging shows that they like or live tweeting. So you're
That's
watching
interesting. So they like... They're teenagers, right?
Yeah.
They like Twitter, huh?
Yeah. And interestingly enough, both of my daughters, youngest one's almost 16 and the middle one is 20. They both love, you know, Doctor Who and Supernatural and shows like that. They live tweet them. They live blog them. But they've both created fake Twitter accounts pretending to be characters in those shows.
Right. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. So for fan fiction type thing, first of all, you raised your daughters right, Matthew. That
yes, he did. Did he not? Yes.
He did. He did. But yeah, for fan fiction, I mean, you know, it is really cool to see, you know, characters in TV shows. I totally follow, like, the Mad Men characters on Twitter. And even some of the newsroom tweets I follow, because you actually get some sort of news items from... But that's interesting. So what do you think about Arrington's opinion piece on Uncrunched about how Google should buy Twitter before the IPO?
You know, I almost wrote something about it because it makes a huge amount of sense. It certainly makes a lot of sense for Google. I'm not sure it makes as much sense for Twitter, especially since they're just about to go public. Like, if Google was going to buy them, it would have made a lot more sense to try and do it 6 months ago, you know, to say, let's kind of, you know, forget about the IPO and we'll offer you way more than you're going to get. But now it's so close. It's hard to imagine that Twitter would actually say, okay. It'd have to be a huge number.
I'm sure that Google has made offers. I mean, I'm sure that Twitter has had to turn down offers, right? But his point is that the IPO is coming up, and so they just buy them right out. The thing about this piece that I didn't like is that, you know, Arrington was like, Google Plus is supposedly the number two social network after Facebook, but I don't buy it. No one I know uses Google Plus much. And I don't see people giving out the Google Plus names on cable news networks and other TV shows. That's true, but that's not the only measure of the success of a social network. Since we were just talking about, you know, the Google Plus's usage numbers are a lot higher than we thought. And because it's integrated across all Google products, there is high usage there.
And actually, you could argue that Twitter and Google Plus might make a good combination in a way. I mean, Twitter is used by still a relatively small number of people. and relatively sort of, you know, people who are looking for a specific thing. Maybe it's a news service, maybe it's just sort of short sharing or whatever. Whereas Google Plus, with particularly with the photo stuff and all that, it's much more of a community. So you could see those two things fitting well together, even complementary. I still don't see it happening, though, to be honest.
You know, I think it makes perfect sense. Mike points out, and I think he's right here, that the search signals you get from Twitter alone are worth billions. Twitter's valued at $11
billion. I would agree.
So you'd have to offer more than $11 billion for the board to even consider it, since they're about to go public at a $17 to $20, which would give them
It'd have
valuation.
To be $15 to $20.
You'd have, yeah, Mike says that. It'd have to be significantly more. It's going to be a big chunk. Google can afford that.
But he's right about the search.
It's worth something. It's worth a lot.
I'm trying to remember who wrote it. Kevin Marks pointed to a blog post that was talking about Twitter's URL shortener, the t.co.
Right.
So every link that goes through Twitter gets shortened by t.co or wrapped by t.co. And they forbid Google from crawling any of those links, following them. So they are the only ones who have access to all of the links that are shared on Twitter. That's a huge, I mean, that'd be worth billions right there.
Exactly. Sure. And I think, frankly, Twitter's more valuable to Google than it is by itself. I'm sure of it. So the problem, though, I'm sure there are people like Vic inside of Google who are saying, no, give Google Plus a chance. Look, we're getting traction. And that's why Vic brings up those numbers.
Yeah.
We're getting traction.
But you know what Google Plus is missing for me? Google Plus is connected to everything Google, but it is not connected to anything non-Google.
Real world.
At least not in any useful way. So
you don't, if somebody dies, a Hollywood celebrity dies, you don't go to Google Plus to find out if it's true.
No.
You go to Twitter.
It's not just that. It's the API. It's the sort of ability to read and write or to share things or cross platforms or cross services. You just can't do anything like that with Google Plus.
Well, they could fix that with an API, right?
It could, but so why haven't they? So it's big enough now. At first, Vic said, we don't want it to get too noisy and we don't want it to be to whatever. But I mean, it's at this point, it's like a silo in a way.
Well, and that's why Twitter is a good thing to buy, because it's complementary, 100% complementary to Google Plus.
So $20 billion, there you go. Done.
But I think there's internal debate. I would not be at all surprised. I mean, look, the Twitter IPO is in the next couple of weeks. I would not be at all surprised to have a big announcement in the next couple of days. Yeah, we and if they make an offer that's significantly over what the valuation is, the board probably can't even say no. It's like, well, you're going to the stock market.
Well, the board can't say no, but you know, there have been these cases before, and I mean, for sure, venture investors are going to want
pissed. Yeah,
and if they're not getting a multiple that they see as enough, then they're, you know, the board is just not going to say yes.
Right. Yeah, so it has to be enough.
Yeah.
It's not going to be cheap. That's what Mike says.
Might as well round up to like 30, you know.
Yeah.
Throw an extra $10 billion in there.
You keep adding more.
Well, Dick's going to want a couple billion.
Yeah.
Figure.
Yeah. This makes a lot of sense. And Google has shown, as it showed this with YouTube, it's shown that it can buy a company like this and preserve its corporate culture. Keep it somewhat separate, autonomous. They know how to do that.
And actually, YouTube is a good example, because YouTube was, you know, it was still relatively new and kind of untested when they bought it. It was obvious that it was something. It was obvious, but they have, it has grown substantially, and you know, they have managed to preserve it in a lot of, or to keep it from getting sort of screwed up like lots of companies do.
The YouTube Google video comparison Arrington makes is decent, but the difference with Google Plus is that Google Plus is really core to all Google products at this point.
Yeah,
right?
It's not Google Video. It's much more important.
They're not going to get rid of it.
It's much more important than Google Video, right? Like, and they're not going to buy Twitter and then what? I mean, they're not going to replace Google Plus with it. Google Plus is the core of like user identity on Google. I just don't know where Twitter would fit. Didn't they buy, what was that? Short messaging service is very similar to Twitter. Jaiku. Thank you. Jaiku, right? So
yeah,
they'd be buying the data, but what would they, you know, I don't know.
They don't touch it. They keep running it. They let Dick continue to run links.
All they want is to crawl.
Just open up T.co alone.
Yeah. Right.
And but I think that the real fear is we don't want to kill Google Plus, and we think there's a lot of power and value in Google Plus. And if we bought Twitter, that might be harmful to Google Plus. I don't think it is, but it might be harmful to Google Plus. I think they're two different audiences, and I use both. And yeah. They're very different things. Yeah, they're different.
And I suppose Instagram and Facebook have been working sort of together but separately,
right.
You know?
Right. Vic
said that. After the IPO and, you know, Twitter's public and whatnot, I wonder whether they wouldn't be open to some kind of licensing deal with Google, like the one they used to have, where and then they cut them off from getting that data from Twitter. I wonder if they'd be open to some kind of deal where Google would just pay them for that data.
Well, I'm sure they closed it off for a reason, probably because they wanted to see. Well, it's valuable, Google. Mm-hmm. How valuable, right? Let's see. I'm just looking through what else is going on. Google Glass 2. This is interesting. You probably got this, Gina. Glass mm-hmm. Explorers have gotten, three or four invitations?
Yes.
You can now, they're expanding the universe for glassers.
Yeah.
Glass holes. I bought them for Jason Howell. And he said, "Do you want? Okay, I got that. Do you want glass? Now I'm not going to spend $1,500 on that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's the thing,
that's
right? So you can invite three people to spend, presumably spend $1,500.
It's not
on
completely
glass.
Clear. Jason says it doesn't say anywhere that it's going to cost money, but of course it's going to cost $1,500.
Go and do that.
Yeah, it is. It is. And Explorers also get to trade in their current hardware for the next iteration of the hardware, which is kind of nice.
Are you going to do that, Jason?
I don't know.
He doesn't.
Early
do you have to pay money?
No, it's a straight across. You get one.
Oh, so you want to hold on to it, shrink wrapped in the box, so you can sell it 20 years from now?
No, but am I really going to hold on to it?
No,
for 20
years? Get the glass too.
Probably true.
Yeah.
Are you going to get the glass too, Gina?
Yeah, definitely.
It's compatible with prescription glasses.
Mm.
That's what they say.
What
not
does that
clear.
Mean? Do you buy lenses for your glass?
Not clear. Not clear.
Yeah, it's
how
not
that
clear.
Works.
It sounds like maybe it comes with. You can order regular glasses and have Google Glass installed on them.
Because there are plenty of Googlers. I've seen them who wear prescription glasses and glass.
Well, they were working with Warby Parker, I'm pretty sure.
Right. Oh, that's what they'll do. They'll offer a Warby Parker edition.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
$12,000.
Yeah, exactly. How much is that going to cost? And the first driving ticket issued for driving with glass, a California woman. She was, to be completely fair, she was speeding, got pulled over, and then, in addition, the trooper added Google Glass as part of the sight.
I'm in San Diego. Nice.
Yep, you're down your way. I thought it might be you at first. Driving with monitor visible to driver is the violation. And then in parentheses, he wrote Google Glass.
Google Glass.
Hmm. She was also 10 miles above the speed limit. That's not normally enough to get pulled over.
Big ups to SDPD for knowing what Google Glass was.
Yeah, no kidding. That's pretty mainstream. This is California Vehicle Code Section 27602. A person shall not drive a motor vehicle if a television receiver, a video monitor, or a television or video screen or any other similar means of visually displaying a television broadcast or video signal that produces entertainment or business applications is operating and is located in the motor vehicle at a point forward of the back of the driver's seat or is operating and the monitor screen or display is visible to the driver while driving. That means everybody who drives a Tesla is driving illegally.
Yeah.
Yeah, or anybody who has their phone mounted on the thing for navigation purposes, right?
That's why I think she should fight it. I mean, that's so vague. Like, obviously, they don't want people having a TV sitting on the dash in front.
No, I think that's... there are exceptions. You can drive with equipment that includes a mapping display and or a global positioning display.
Well, she should have argued, hey, it's a navigation. It's my nav.
Looking at Google Maps.
Oh.
But, you know, not in her defense. I mean, when you pick up glass, they made it very clear that you should not wear it while driving, that the laws haven't been updated yet. And you should not. So she knew that she shouldn't have been.
She said her glass was not on. Hmm. And the officer said it was blocking her view.
Hmm.
Well, really?
Doesn't block your view, does it? It's
no.
above your eye line.
Yeah.
So, no.
You have to
it's
look
clear.
Up.
When it's off, it's clear.
Yeah, it's
so you
clear.
See right through it.
Right.
Yeah.
I say fight it, California woman from San Diego. Fight it. Fight the good fight.
Stand up for glass holes everywhere.
Yes. We talked about the Post-it note that the Guardian displayed today of how the National Security Agency can watch what's going on at Google. Did you see it? It's kind of...
Mm-hmm. No. What?
Wait a minute. I got to find this.
You mean the drawing?
It's a drawing. It's on a yellow. Hilarious. It looks like.
It has a happy face.
It has a happy face on it. I got to show
you
this.
That's the best part.
It's hysterical.
We're spying on you, happy face.
Yeah. Gosh, I can't pull it up fast enough. Pull it up. There you go. Chad's better than me. So this is this is another one. They're slowly leaking them out. Yet another slide from the NSA presentation, except this one looks like it was drawn on a Post-it note. So they have a cloud on the left that is the public internet, the cloud on the right that is the internal Google cloud. In between them, a GFE, a Google front-end server. That would be hardware interfacing the public internet to the private. And then there's an arrow, dotted arrow, with the text SSL added and removed here, ! With a smiley face. Official NSA jargon for insert spy device here.
That's the most sarcastic smiley face probably ever.
It actually, if you carefully observe, fits my face perfectly. I am Edward Snowden. I was really believing these slides right up to that one, which looks like he drew it in a bar in Hong Kong.
At least the other ones were PowerPoint.
Yeah, really? This is what? And the smiley face. Wow.
Yeah, the smiley face is...
However, it does confirm what we do believe, which is that the NSA is tapping in at the unencrypted point of the transactions.
Did you see the caption, two engineers with close ties to Google exploded in profanity when they saw the drawing.
Well, that doesn't tell you much. They could have been saying, well, that's not true, or why would you
that's
find
the worst
that?
Drawing I've ever seen.
Yeah, or that's who put a happy face on there? Exploded in profanity does not tell you anything.
It really doesn't.
But it does. It for sure looks like they're tapping into the connection to their cloud, and probably, you know,
it would be
that's kind of what we figured was happening.
Yeah, it would be compatible with a Google explanation or denial.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, it makes perfect. It does work.
Also, the project is called Muscular.
Yes, and it's done in conjunction with the British GCHQ.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nice?
I did notice one thing interesting, and Alan Rusbridger from The Guardian wrote a big piece for the New York Review of Books about, you know, the Guardian and the series that it's been doing. But he mentions way down, it's quite a long piece, but he mentions near the end that he was talking to a senior executive from a West Coast-based technology company, which he didn't mention, and that they
aren't
admitted
they all?
That they admitted, this guy admitted, that neither he nor the CEO would have security clearance to even know about anything that was going on related to the NSA anyway. So that, in other words, their denials are sort of irrelevant because they're not the people who are doing it. They don't have the clearance to even know that it's occurring.
Right. I think this would be a good time for us to do a tip and a number of the week. Coming up in just a bit, Tom Standage, he wrote the book The Victorian Internet, which is a great book. His newest is about social networks, 2,000 years of the history of social networks, which I love. We're going to interview him in just a little bit. But first, let's get a tip from Gina Trapani.
My tip this week is actually an app. So I guess it's kind of like a tool. And I apologize to the people who watch All About Android. This is just such a great app. It won the arena last night. I wanted to bring it up to the Twig listeners. Pushbullet. Pushbullet.com. Love this thing. I installed it to test it out, and I've been using it so much. What Pushbullet does is it lets you push data from your computer, from Chrome to your phone, very easily. It's very similar to Chrome to phone, actually, but with lots more features, a lot easier to use. So you install it on your Android device. You can install a Chrome extension into Chrome, and you sign in with Google. So it's really simple, one-click sign-in. And then you can push lists, locations, text files, links, whatever you want to your Android phone, and it shows up in your notification shade. It's a rich notification. And when you tap on, say, for example, location, it automatically loads Google Maps. If you tap on a list, you can check off items on the list. And you can also push between your Chrome browsers. If you want to push from one Chrome browser to another, it works to your tablet, to your phone. You can push to your friends' devices if they give you access. And it's just a really, really handy way. So, like, if you're sitting at your desk, and I do this all the time, I look up an address to a restaurant that I'm going to or a place I need to go, and I want an easy way to just send that to my phone on the way, I just click a button, and it goes. Really, really beautifully designed, Android-only app, uses the rich notifications Android 4.0 and above, and just super, super useful. I love this app. I've been using it so much, I wanted to share it.
Pushbullet. Yeah, because I've always used Chrome to phone.
Mm-hmm. It's like it's Chrome to phone, but even better. Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool app.
Now, normally Jeff Jarvis would do a number of the week. We don't have Jeff's number of the week, but Matthew, if you have a tip or an idea or an app you like that you'd like to share with us, that's good too.
Anything? Yeah, I don't know how new this one is, but it's one that I've been using a lot because for backing up photos. It used to be called Open Photo, and now it's called Trove Box. It's got iOS apps, it's got Android apps, it's got a website, and it the thing that appealed to me about it was that when it was called Open Photo, it's very open. So you can host your photos with them, or you can host them on S3, and it's just very seamless. It's got a really nice UI. So I, you know, back up my photos to like 10 different places. So Google Plus, I've got auto upload turned on. Dropbox, I've got auto upload turned on, just so that, you know, I never sort of lose them. But Trovebox has got quite a nice setup, and I know that it's all backed up to my S3 installation.
I like that.
With Amazon. Yeah, so it's really well done.
I like it. Well, I already showed you my pick of the week, my little floating hat, which I really like.
Windy day.
I like windy day, and I hope that I look forward to more, and I'm very excited about it. I just feel like it's too bad that it's only Moto X, but because this is really, and I think in some ways, a new medium, and I think there's a lot you could do that'd be very interesting. So if you do happen to have a Moto X and you don't see the little hat floating around on your screen, go get the Motorola Spotlight app. It's on the Play Store. Download it, and it won't be long before you have a windy day, too. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so much for joining us this week in Google. Shows up on the Twit Network every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time, the new time, because we're setting our clocks back on Sunday. The new time will be 2100 UTC on twit.tv. Please tune in live and watch. We appreciate it. Love the chat room. Very helpful. If, however, you can't get here in person, we always make on-demand audio and video available afterwards at twit.tv/TWIG or wherever you can subscribe to podcasts. That way you'd get it each and every week. I can't remember. Are we moving this show in 2014 or not? I don't think so.
We are not.
We're not.
Yeah, so not that I'm aware of.
I should let you know we are moving some shows so that I can have 2 days off Thursday and Friday. So some shows get moved, but Twig is not moving. It'll still be Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Gina is going to be missing in action, though, for the month of December. She's moving.
I am moving cross-country and couch surfing.
Back
and
to Brooklyn.
Holidaying. Ooh. And
how nice.
Yeah, we'll be carless and daycareless and sort of living a crazy life there in December. So, and freezing, because, you know, Brooklyn will be freezing.
It's cold. Got to warn you. It's cold.
Could be worse. Could be Canada.
But,
yes, that's true, too.
That's true. But I'll be back in January.
Good. And we will have fill-ins throughout the months. Matthew among them, I hope. And of course, a best of, which we do every year. And in fact, you can contribute to our best ofs for any of our shows. If you watch a show and you go, oh, there was a great moment. Remember that back in the spring when everybody was dancing? You can go to twit.tv/best of and let us know. There's fields on the form that you may not know, you know, time code, air date, that kind of thing. That's fine. Give us whatever information you can, and we'll try to find it. And then we'll have a best of for Christmas week, because I think our show's on Christmas Day, actually. Year's Day, we're doing a special 24-hour New Year's party. Maybe you could stop by for that, Gina.
Yeah, I would like that.
Could be our New York correspondent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. For any time, really. 4 a.m. Pacific time, New Year's Eve to 4 a.m. Pacific time, New Year's Day. I will be on the air wearing a tuxedo, counting down and drinking champagne at least once an hour, if not more.
Well, seeing what the ice cream did to you, I can't wait to get out of the champagne. That's going to be quite a show.
Sure. I'll sing You'll Never Walk Alone at the end and loosen my tie and walk off.
Have the lawyers standing by.
Yeah.
Yeah, have the lawyers standing by.
No, I was thinking of getting a nurse to take my blood pressure every hour. Do a blood breathalyzer. No, that's what we'll do. We'll have a CHP, a California Highway Patrol officer, and a nurse standing by at all times. Thank you, everybody. Yeah, we're going to do it 24 hours. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google.